being gay, being out, being queer is such a cool thing. And yes, there are tough aspects of it, but you have a community. There are so many heart-wrenching, heartbreaking stories, and those are so valid, but also there's a lot of stories of joy. Welcome to today's episode of the podcast where we're talking about joy and queer things. I am joined today with Sabina Mendoza and Andy Cup, who are representing our board members in the Out Foundation. Mm-hmm. Okay, give me a succinct example. Like, what is the Out Foundation? Because it sounds like you go around exposing people. You're like, oh, you're out now. Get out.
Oh, if only we were that cool. No, Out Foundation is actually really cool. We're kind of like, almost like an alumni association, like a queer alumni association for BYU.
Oh, cool.
Where we kind of collect donations and resources and use them to distribute to like help out the queer students at BYU and also to like create outreach and networking experiences and different connecting experiences for BYU alumni, queer BYU alumni as well.
I love that. I also love that I'm like, oh, cool. And I'm on like the advisory board, but I never heard explained that well. So I was like, oh, anything you want to add, Andy?
No, I think that's very great. I think the big thing, yeah, helping alumni and current students. So alumni helping alumni and students.
So you're like constantly in like queer BYU spaces or BYU spaces and queer spaces.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Wait, correct me. What would you say is more like accurate as far as like your involvement?
Yeah. As a foundation, we try and just like we see needs and we try to fill them as fast as possible. And so a lot of our initiatives involve like providing therapy resources for students and alumni, providing like community with our Outspoken campaign, mm-hmm. where we just collect alumni profiles of like queer graduates that have been graduated, like either whether this past semester or like years ago. We would love to collect more profiles from queer people that have graduated from BYU years ago. That would be thrilling to me to learn more about like our history and our legacy at BYU. But just collecting these profiles of people that like and talking about their experiences at BYU and like being queer and like what that was like to just kind of help build that community. And no, we're not alone.
I think y'all are doing a really good job of building community. I feel like, especially over the course of years, I feel like I've seen an increase in like just the response, which I love, especially related to the Out Foundation.
Yeah. One of the things that we've been trying to do as well is like help current queer BYU groups that have been like popping up over the past couple of years and like helping them with finances or with support or whatever they need to facilitate their own community. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like, this is our special club, but it's like, how can we help others to have their own special clubs too?
That is a unique take sometimes. What are you going to say?
Yeah, I know just the current BYU students, the queer BYU students that are like creating these groups and trying to make changes at BYU are incredible. These students are amazing.
Is everyone incredible though? Is there someone that you're like, I'm just kidding.
Spill the tea. Spill it.
If there's a time to spill the tea, spill it.
No, I mean, just the leadership that exists there, like the things that they're doing is just incredible.
I never had that courage when I was at BYU.
Yeah.
Right. No, that's exactly it. Like, they're so strong and like confident in themselves. And I'm just like, oh, I wish I could have been like that. That was so nice.
There's like a lot of excitement, a little resentment. It's like, you're so cool.
No, it's so funny because I was a student leader for so long when I was at BYU and like kind of out in my queerness and kind of like doing a lot of things while I was a student
there. You were.
Yeah, which is why I know both of you already. But I know how draining it is and how exhausting it is and how like you have to like pass your classes because like class is hard and college is hard. And then also you're just trying to like hold your community together and hold yourself together and like try to make a difference. It is an enormous pile of things to have on your plate.
Oh my gosh. Does it feel like you're like putting a rock in a hard place?
As a student there?
Yeah, does it feel like you're like, well, because I wonder sometimes, and I've gotten this in little ways, and I feel like y'all are more in it. Do you ever feel like you get, like, you get it from BYU and also from the queer community? Do you feel like you have the support of the queer community sometimes? Do you feel like people come for you a little harder there? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is there complications with that?
Yes.
I mean, always.
Definitely complications.
Tell me more.
One of the things that we've been doing is we've been, you know, running some campaigns and trying to spread the word about the Out Foundation and get people involved and just, like, donating and who we are and all of that. And it is very interesting just to see social media comments, for instance, on some of these things. And it is kind of like this weird thing of people that are very pro BYU are like, why are you there? Go away. But then also queer people are like, why are you there? Go away.
I like that they're the same person.
Well, that's what it comes out to be sometimes. It's like, like, we as the Out Foundation are really just there to support queer students in whatever they want to do. They want to stay at BYU? Great. Yeah. You want therapy to help you with that? We'll help you. Oh, you want to leave BYU? Great. Here's a scholarship. Let's help you pass along.
Yeah, we have a fund specifically for helping students transfer. We have a transfer fund.
Because we just want to be there to support whatever path you want to take.
Right.
We're not going to force you to stay at BYU. We're not going to force you to go someplace else. Like,
that's like very Christ-like.
It's like, we're here to support you on the path that you choose.
I like that.
Because we believe in agency.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like,
with all the rules at BYU, they kind of limit options, it feels like. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of here to kind of create a little bit more space that BYU sometimes takes away.
How do you, like, keep, how do you not get, like, discouraged to the point where you're just like, I'm done? Have you had moments where you're like, I'm done? Or do you just like, what keeps you going when it gets hard?
For me, it's that I have completely lost hope in BYU and the system there. I have no faith and confidence in them to, like, do it right. And so I just know my job is to love these kids as much as I can.
Oh,
and to
provide it's like, okay, we can't depend on the institution, so I can provide what I can to support you.
We are a community and we must support each other.
Oh. Does that feel similar for you, Andy?
It does. And I've actually been through a period where I did get really discouraged with it. And I actually left the Out Foundation for a short period of time. So I was, before I was on the board of directors back in 2019, I was doing their social media. And so social media is just a cesspool in general. And it got really discouraging. And so then I stepped away for a bit, and then BYU and the Honor Code thing happened in the beginning of 2020, and then COVID hit. And then it was only within the past couple of years that I was in a better place, that I was like, you know, I can help more. And like, to Sabina's point, like, no, I need to help these students because somebody should have been there to help me. Mm. So why can't I should be there to help others.
Oh, interesting. I think a lot about work to make our communities better. I think of it like WWF wrestling sometimes, where it's like, you go in, and not about breaking people's back, or that's like a big funny, right? Because I thought the look in your eyes, I was like, let me explain.
I was like, I'm ready.
I think of it a lot like, you do your thing, and then you tap out and take a breather when you need to, because it can, your whole life force can go into it. Yeah. It's like, fight your fight, do your thing, tap out when you need to, and then tap back in. It's like, take the breather, jump back in, take the breather, navigate that, because your health is important, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Question for you two, why do queer kids go to BYU? Like, they know what it is. Why are they going?
Why did you go to BYU?
Well,
I know, I guess we all went to BYU, right?
Yeah, I was like, well.
What's your reason? Each individual reason. For me, it really did come down to the finances. I'm from California, and an in-state tuition at a California public university was more expensive than the LDS member tuition at BYU. So it was like, do I want to go into debt this much, or do I want to go into debt that much? And then my parents were like, well, if you go to BYU, we'll pay for it. Okay. Well, I guess BYU's happening.
And at this point, were you already like, and I'm assuming you identify as queer?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I just assumed a lot. Okay. All right. And you, were you like, I know I'm queer and this is going to be hard? Or were you like, where were you mentally?
No idea. I was 16. I knew that I liked guys. I'd come out to a couple of my friends as like, I think I might be gay. And they were like, oh, okay, cool. But I hadn't ever put a label on it, didn't really understand like what it was and where I was going. A lot of that self-discovery, oddly enough, happened when I came to Utah and went to BYU.
Oh, interesting.
Which I think is a lot of queer students at BYU. They're not, you're 16, 17, maybe 18 years old. Like, you might think that you know these things, and I'm not saying that people that are like, you know, teenagers and are super secure and confident are wrong. Like, no. But you learn so much more about yourself as you become an adult and as you go through college and things, that it's like, why would we expect a high school senior to know the rest of their life?
I know, it's like kind of interesting, really presumptuous.
Yeah, no, I mean, a very similar story. I was kind of out and comfortable with myself in high school, actually.
You're such a boss. Oh my gosh.
I was a mess, but like...
You were
a boss of the messes.
A boss mess.
Oh, well... Don't want to see my own horn.
Put that on your bio on Instagram. A boss of messes.
Just shirt.
That does sound like some merch we could lean into. Because I feel like people would be like, that does sound like me.
It's something that would be at Home Goods with the live, laugh, love. They'd be like, bless this mess. Mess of the bosses. Boss of the messes.
Both of those, actually.
All of it.
No. Yeah, no, I had a couple girlfriends in high school and was like kind of out to most of my friends.
At the same time?
No.
I was like, okay,
dang. Stop the meal. No. I mean, I made some interesting choices, but like that wasn't quite one of them. I wanted nothing to do with the church and like wanted nothing to do with BYU. But then it just came down to finances again, where my parents were like, I ended up getting a full ride scholarship to BYU. I lost it after the first year, so I didn't keep it. I'm not that fancy. BYU tears you apart sometimes. And
it's a tough school.
My parents like offered to pay for it, and they like really wanted me to go to BYU, and it just like it was easier because I was 17 and just like
you're like, what are you?
And like I told myself, I like got into BYU and I told myself, I was like, I'll just, you know, go here. I like started as an economics major, which is like the smallest major at BYU. Oh. And I was just like, because it's only like 30 something credits, or at least was when a million years ago when I was there. And I was just like, I'll just go buckle down and like get started and like get it done in like 3 years and then be out and like forget everything. And then another part of the reason was because when I was in high school, I felt so alone. I like didn't realize that there was more community. Like, I don't know why I didn't realize there were more people like me. I never just never thought about it.
Queer people?
Queer Mormon people.
Oh.
I like never thought about it because I'd never seen one.
No, where's the visibility, right?
Yeah. And then when I was a senior in high school, it was like right around the time when USGA released their It Gets Better video.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it and I was like, oh my God, like these are my people.
That really had an effect on me too.
Yeah. And like that was like another part of the reason why I went to BYU, was like I want to find my people. Mm-hmm. Like these are the people that understand me better than anyone else.
And it is different. It's like the Mormon queer community is different.
Yes.
Than the queer community. I mean, obviously, it's just like, yeah. Oh, I love that. I mean, I had a similar as far as like going to BYU. I grew up in a very poor home. I ended up getting a scholarship to it. I didn't even know I was gay though. So I was like. I'm just trying to go to school, and I was stoked to go to BYU, and I'm going to be honest, I loved every second of BYU. I loved it. I had a good time. And then I started coming to terms with my queerness.
The fact that I was gay.
So I was like, oh, sweep this under. Just party a lot. You know, served an LDS mission in Brazil. Loved it. BYU, I loved it. And then as I was working for BYU, working for Studio C, is when I started being like, I'd like watch other people and then look at myself in the mirror and be like, some of these things are not like the others. Like, wait, hold up. People actually like dating women. What?
Yes.
I was just making friends. Yeah. But I came to terms with it as I was at school, which makes sense because you're kind of hitting like, you know, they're like, it's like adolescence. You're like phasing out of it. You're like learning yourself. These things that you were just trying to like figure out life with is now like coming to a head.
Mm-hmm.
And you've made these decisions for your life that, you know, like are easy to change, as you see all the time with students. I want to talk about, we were talking about this earlier, right, where there's like so many stories out there of how hard it is to be queer, especially in like highly religious communities, communities that don't exactly encourage you to be who you are, right? Mm-hmm. I want to know, like, is it really better on the other side? Like, do you feel like you're happier now that you're out? Like, when did you come out?
I mean, mine was a in and out kind of situation. So, like, started to kind of come out to some people when I was, like, 16. Came out to more people when I was 18 and a freshman in college. And then went back in the closet and then came out, like, more people in 2015. I fully, like, officially, you know, Facebook official and everything came out when I was 24.
Okay. And what, I guess, prompted you to come out? Were you just like why was it such a back and forth?
Well, I mean, the Mormon community, like we talked about with religious environment, like, am I actually gay? Am I not gay? Am I really gay? Could I make it work
more masculine
women? Go back and forth, and so it's just, who knows?
I did search for a Helga for a while, like a strong woman with solid pecs or something.
Someone who could just lift you up and carry you off into the sunset. Yeah.
It's like, if she has a strong jaw, I can, like, we'll see.
It's the jawline.
Yeah, wait, so what about you? When did you come out? It sounds like you came out, like, in...
So, I mean, like, but I relate to the back and forth a little bit, honestly, because I, like, I've kind of been out mostly since I was, like, 16-ish.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But, like, so, like, because, like, I had my first girlfriend at 16, and, like...
Oh, my gosh, you're so old, yes. Like, right at 16.
Well, it was, like, a little bit before, but, like, whatever. Ah! I was, like, it doesn't matter.
It's if not your parents were listening. Naughty. She didn't say a little bit before.
That doesn't matter. So yeah, I like had my first girlfriend around 16 and like it came out like around the same time as I started dating her because I was going through it and figuring out all of the labels and things. And so I was like, yes, I'm a lesbian and I love this. And like I had that at 16 and like was out to my people for the most part, but like still went to like church with my family and stuff and like had like kind of like a separate, like a separation between mm-hmm. like church and state essentially. And
you're such a government.
A better one than one we have.
This is my George Washington Foundations of America pose.
And
did someone say government?
I was like kind of out to my friends and like people at school kind of mm-hmm. knew, like my siblings heard through the grapevine, like all these things. I was like kind of out, but never like made any declarations. And still actually mm-hmm. to this day I've never made it like a formal like coming out on Facebook or anything like that. Like went to BYU and like went back and forth a little bit where I was like, oh, I'm a lesbian, but like maybe I'll try dating guys. And then I found a guy I actually liked and I was like, oh my God, am I bisexual? And like that was a weird experience for uh-huh. me to realize. And so like have like come out to myself and like now like claim the label of bisexual or queer, which is like comfy and nice mm-hmm. and wonderful for me now. And so that was like kind of like a new coming out, but like still know I always liked women. And did a roller coaster in the church. For, like, a little bit, so mm-hmm. it would, like, be less out, but, like, knew I was still queer, but, like, talked about it less, etc.
So, like, now, yeah, that's, like, where you are now is, like, you're, like, at this place now where you're identifying as queer and lesbian, and you feel like you're, like, do you feel like you're still in this place, or do you feel like, no, this is where I am now, and I'm good?
Oh, yeah, so that was, like, mostly BYU, and then, like, since, actually, I feel like I've even come to terms with my own bisexuality, like, in the past couple years, wow. where I've, like, felt really comfortable with it. Like, it was even just, like, during COVID where I was, like... Like, before, like, quarantine times, I was just like, lesbian is fine, bisexual is fine, it doesn't really matter, mm-hmm. whatever, call me whatever you want. And now I'm more comfortable with, like, actually sitting and declaring that I'm bisexual, and it doesn't feel like a bad thing to say about myself.
Why does it feel like a bad thing? Like, why was there, like...
I thought that liking men made me less queer.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
Such a polar opposite for me.
Weird how that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I just thought, like... I was, like, so sad to lose this, like, lesbian label that I, like, really loved and identified with when I, like, first came out as a teenager. And, like admitting that I liked men or, like, masculinity or, like, genders just outside of women was just, like, felt like it was taking away almost from that. And now I kind of feel like it adds on. And it, like, adds, like, a whole new layer of experience and, like, a whole new layer of, like, relatability to, like, other people. And, like, just it adds so much more to my life. And I look at it that way now as opposed to, like, the things it takes away from me, which is nothing.
Yeah. Interesting. I think that's, like, a really good point, too, of, like, the concept of, like, your identity. Like, you don't need to feel like you need to fit in a box for your identity. Your identity represents you. The language... It's what you're comfortable with, right? Like,
exactly.
Don't feel like you got... And that can be tough sometimes if you're, like, exploring something. And you're like, oh, what does it mean to be gay? Like, let me get, like, a rainbow like this and always wear it. It's like, maybe that's not me. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, by virtue of it being me, it is gay. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
What about you, Andy? Do you feel like you're in a place now where you're, like, more comfortable? Do you feel like you're still in the back and forth?
Yeah, no. Similar to Sabina, once I kind of left BYU, it was like, oh, I can actually... clear head, figure this out, and mm-hmm. and no, I've been yeah. happily in a committed relationship for 4.5 years now okay. with a man.
Four and a half years?
Yeah.
You said commitment. Okay.
Wow. We bought a house last year together.
Party at Andy's. Yeah. Oh my gosh, everybody, let's toast to it. Andy's got a house. More debt. Yes. You know who can fix that debt? Miss Government right here.
Yeah, Miss Church and State.
You're there. And we get 2 points if Sabina spits all over it.
Don't tempt me, I will.
So what I want to dive into is like, okay, we went through all this like struggle of like, like, you know, finding out who you are. We had lows, I'm assuming, I don't know, as we had some lows. Is it better now? Are you happier? Do you feel like you're experiencing a joy that you didn't earlier? And I'm not looking for a specific answer. I really want you if you're like, actually, no. Like, I would love to know that. You know what I mean? Like, what are your thoughts?
I would say 100% yes.
Yeah.
Like, it very cliche of the whole it gets better thing, but, like, it really did get better for me. And that's not to say there's not still struggles. Like, I still have this mentality and I still have some internalized homophobia, even though I've been out for 4 years and, you know, been with a man for 4.5 years.
Internalized homophobia meaning, like, in what context? You're like...
Like, I shouldn't... Like, I'm a very straight-laced person. Wearing this Our Out Foundation little pin is, mm-hmm. like, the most rainbow I ever wear. Because... I have it in my head that, like, no, rainbow's too gay.
You're like, it's too much.
It's too much. And so, like, things like that of, like, I put myself into a box all the time. And so that's where I think of the internalized homophobia of, like, no, I need to stay in this box. And if there's anything that even drifts out the box, then it's like, eh. And so, sure, my partner is in the box now, but, like, past that,
Yeah, so it's, like, still a journey in that
still
sense.
A journey. But better. But better. Mm. 100% better. Just because, like... I don't feel like this weight on my shoulders all the time. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's so cliche, but you know, as a queer teenager and a queer young adult, like you carry this weight.
Yes.
And like leaving it and kind of accepting it and like, oh, I can breathe.
I didn't realize how heavy the weight was until I dropped it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I all the time, still to this day, I'll be like, is this what the straights experience? Like, oh, there's like seeing the world in color now, and I'm like, I can be happy? What? Wait, so what do you agree? Do you feel like that's been similar in your life? The idea of like, do you feel like you're in a better place?
Yeah. So throw something at me if I talk for too long about this. Because,
girl, I got you.
Okay. Be ready. So I would say absolutely, I feel so much more joy in my life now, like being out and like accepting myself. And also with that, I feel like comes, like there was a certain like almost numbing I had to do of myself, like as a student or as like someone who didn't love themselves because I didn't like accept myself because I was trying to like make myself into something I wasn't. Mm-hmm. Like put myself in this box like Andy was talking about.
Put your emotions on the back burner.
Exactly. Lock them away. And so like it was awful, but like ever since then, like I can experience like the full joys I never got to experience. Have I had lows? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There have been like hard things.
Being in this place, yeah.
Breakups and feelings and like life, everything. Mm-hmm. But I can experience all of it now. Mm. I can experience it fully. I can experience it as me. I have all of me with me to help me get through all of these things. And that makes all the difference.
I love it.
I would rather do this any day than go back and try to fit myself and make myself something I wasn't.
That is so beautiful because I think it's like, it does feel like sometimes it's like an extreme where it's like, don't come out. It's going to be hard and you're going to regret it. Or come out because everything you're doing is terrible and horrible and you're going to only be happy. And it's like, life isn't like that. You know what I mean? You have these like ups and downs. You have these joys and upsets. Question for you. When you hear the term queer joy, and I'm going to be honest, I don't have a definition for this. So I want to just know like a gut reaction. What do you think that means? What does that mean to you?
To me, it means... I can feel joy in my fullness of experience. Mm. Like I can be happy holding my girlfriend's hand walking down the street. Aww. I can be happy like putting a rainbow sticker on my Facebook profile picture. Mm-hmm. Like I can be happy like in all of these things that used to terrify me. I can be happy like reaching the limits and finding out like all of these edges and corners and spaces of who I am.
I love this idea that you're like this complex, beautiful shape that you've yet to discover. Mm-hmm. And like part of discovering that is learning like the joys and the upsets, but like you got to discover it. And I don't know about you, but I feel like the more I discover this shape of myself, the more I love it, you know, like allowing myself to do that. I like that. What about you? When you hear the term queer joy, or you think about your own life, what do you think? Are you like, I don't know, what are your thoughts?
You know, similar to Sabina, of just a fullness of joy. Mm. And I think as well, like a fullness of whatever joy you want. Like one thing that's interesting to me is the term queer. Like, you know, it used to be such a derogatory term and now we've kind of taken it back as a community and owned it. Like, mm-hmm. no, this is us. And it's kind of, from what I understand, very all inclusive. And I think that's a great way of describing queer joy is it's inclusive joy.
Oh, give me, yeah, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah,
I like that.
You did that really well.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
We're going to put that right on the mantle underneath, like, bless this mess, mess of bosses or something. Yeah. That's beautiful. I wanted a specific example of a time where you feel like you've experienced queer joy. A moment where you can like pinpoint and say, I experienced a joy. And however you want to define it is okay. I don't even want to give you a definition because I want you to in that in your own sense. I think about for me, I remember driving home after a second date with this guy I ended up dating. And this beautiful, like, this like spring one came on. It's like Max Richter, you know, it's Vivaldi Reimagined or something. It came on and it's just like this beautiful strings was playing. And I felt like my soul was like flying. Like I felt like I was on cloud nine. I felt so good. And I was experiencing a crush, like a crush. And I was just like, I could have sang opera in the moment. I just like, I pulled over at a park and I just like felt the sweetest feels. And I was like, this is queer joy. Like, this is something that I never, ever, ever experienced. And now it's coming so, so powerfully and so strong. And like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a moment for me where I remember I can pinpoint and be like, yes. What about y'all?
One of the first moments I can remember, one of my girlfriends in high school, it was like one of the first times I like, or it was the first time I was able to like hold hands with a girl and just walk down the hallways of my high school. And we just like walked down the hallway and like she ran into a friend that I hadn't met yet of hers. And she was just like, oh, hey, like, oh, this is my girlfriend, Sabina, and like, or whatever. And like her friend was like, oh, you're so cute. And it was just like a cute little like organic moment that felt so normal. Like it wasn't about like coming out. It wasn't about like weird traumatic, like, oh, and like, it's so hard to be gay. It was just like, I had a girlfriend and I was like meeting her friend and she said we were cute. And like, that was it. And it was just like while holding my girlfriend's hand just down the hallways of my high school. It was just like such a powerful moment for me where it's just like, I feel so normal in this moment.
Like that's beautiful where it's like the normalcy of it. Like none of the like the pressures and the fears. It's like you had a moment where you could just like be, exist.
Yeah.
I love. You got one for us, Andy?
I think so. And it's more recent, actually. And I was trying to think of like, oh, what would work for this? But, and it's not even really about me. It's about somebody else. But,
this better be your experience. You can't be telling me.
Well, it is my experience. Like,
my friend had joy once.
So, my grandparents, they're in their 90s and, when they served a couple mission back in the 90s, and they had a song composed by a member of their ward who composed songs, beautiful songwriter. They came out as transgender probably 10, 15 years ago. The songwriter. And
not your grandparents.
No, not my grandparents.
I was like, what a plot twist.
Songwriter. The songwriter.
90s, huh? Together. I was like, wow.
That would have been something else. No, but she came out as transgender, and my grandparents had a framed piece of this composed music, and it had this woman's dead name on it for the longest time because it was, you know, before she had come out as transgender. And I never really thought anything about it. It just was framed up on their piano. And then my partner and I were at their house just last month, and I was looking, just kind of looking at all the little trinkets and whatever, and I noticed that they had an updated copy that had the composer's transgender name, like her name, yeah, instead of her dead name. And my 90-year-old, you know, quite conservative grandparents, it was something that just caught me by complete surprise and brought tears to my eyes because I, like,
yeah,
you know, they knew this person as their dead name for years and years and years, but they came out and I don't know when it was changed on the picture. It wasn't ever a big deal or anything, but there's now a composed sheet of music there that's framed with this woman's actual name
on
there.
And they never talked about it. They just did it quietly.
Never mentioned anything. Never. I swear I've looked at that several times before and never expected to see that. And so when I did, and I was like, and I had to point it out to my partner because I was like, this is so sweet. I never, wow. So I would say that for me, if I'm going for that inclusive joy, that would be my inclusive queer joy.
Some grandparents get you. I love that. And it's kind of like, almost like this joy. Is it the joy of like seeing your family do something? Like, why do you think that felt so good?
Oh, maybe
someone, I get this idea of like the normalcy in space, but like, why did that feel
maybe
so
because
good?
It is my grandparents, but also maybe because it was kind of normal. Like, there wasn't a big deal about it. Yeah. There wasn't like a mass email to the family or a Facebook post of like, oh, we're doing this because, you know, we want to be good. It was just a normal thing. And just the fact that they would actually take the time and make the effort to actually replace that sheet of music with the correct name on there just took me by surprise. And yeah, I think just...
Isn't it funny how, like, these experiences, we're not talking about our first time riding, you know, a spaceship or, like, how someone reinvented the wheel for us. It's like these, like, small moments that are, like, so impactful. It's like, a little goes a long way. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Do you feel like, are there any moments in, coming back to the Out Foundation, are there any moments with that where you feel like you have moments of, like, what keeps you doing it? Does it feel good? Are you just, like, do you see pain in other people? Like, what is your drive in that? Do you have moments of joy?
Yes.
Yeah. No, something that I think about, one of the coolest moments for me so far was when... the whole thing that happened in 2020 when BYU removed like the homosexuality clause from the honor code, but then like said it was still actually there. That whole,
yeah, it was a mess. A ton of people came out that were,
yeah. So a ton of people came out thinking it was safe, but then had to later learn that it wasn't. Ugh. And it was a whole back and forth, just like nightmare for students. Mm-hmm. Like there was like a post on Twitter where someone was like, hey, can we like collect funds for like transferring of students or like for something?
You're like, actually.
And, well, because we hadn't set up our transfer fund yet. Oh. It was something that we wanted to do. And then someone, like, tagged, like, Al or me or, like, John, our director.
I love John.
And, or someone. And we were like, hey, we should do this. And, like, being able to, one, be in a position where we can, like, oh, there's a need, we can go fill it. Mm-hmm. And then also, once we put it out there, we're like, hey, we're collecting, like, we're going to do, like, a GoFundMe, collect donations for transfers. Or, like, first transfer donation, or transfer fund.
Yeah.
Collected money for transfer fund for students that wouldn't leave. And the money started just coming in, like, crazy. Like so much like, more money than I thought.
They believed in what was happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, seeing the outpouring of, like, care for these students that I feel like even, like, 10 or even 5 years ago wasn't here. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I just didn't see because my bubble was so small as a BYU student. But, like, seeing just the outpouring of, like, hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars for these students was incredible. It was incredible. And, like, being able to see, like, now, anytime I see, like, a new little student group pop up or, like, a new student be like, hey, I'm an ally at BYU. And, like anytime these students get louder and louder, because they continually get louder and louder, I just feel so much joy because I'm like, it's getting better.
Yeah.
It's right here. Mm. And it, like, people are able to say things. People are starting to say things and starting to question things. And the numbers are growing.
Do you think it felt so good because of, like the surprise almost of, like, seeing this community that you knew all of a sudden show up in a way that you hadn't before? Like, what made it so impactful? Was it the fact that, like, money was being raised and you were like, oh my gosh, we can actually do more? Like, you know what I mean?
I think the joy in it was just seeing how many people there were. Like, just seeing the numbers. Mm-hmm. Because as a student, and for so long, I felt so lonely.
Like fighting that uphill battle.
Yeah. And seeing now that, like, oh, like, X hundred number of people, like, donated to this. Mm-hmm. Or, like, there's, like, this group and this group and this group, and they all have, like, X many members. Like, and we, when they post, like, videos from, like, protests at BYU, like, there are, like, lots of people there. Like, I didn't know that we were that big in number.
Mm. It's probably going to be interesting, too, because it's, like, you talk about, like, losing hope and BYU as an institution, and then probably seeing people show up where you're like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know, that's kind of cool. It's like, it feels like a movie almost where it's like fourth quarter, you're tired, and all of a sudden it's just like, doof, the support.
I lost my faith in the institution, but I haven't lost faith in the people.
Oh.
I love that.
Put it on the mantle.
Yep. Thank you. Yep.
Mess, boss of messes. I have lost my faith in the institution, but not the people. I love it. In italicized, small font. What about you without, like, any moments, any times where you're like, what keeps you going, right?
What keeps me going is the idea and the knowledge that BYU is going to do something again. So with the honor code thing, sure, it got a fantastic response. It wasn't the first time that BYU has done something like that. It's definitely not going to be the last time. And so for me, it's, you know, we need to be there as an organization and still, like, working and setting up things, because when stuff hits the fan again, we're there to support and to help those students.
Where's the joy for you? And, like, is there joy in it?
Yeah.
Like, and you don't, it doesn't have to be a yes answer. It doesn't have to.
My joy is an interesting kind of joy, because that's what brings me joy, is the knowledge that there's some security there. Oh.
Job security is joy.
Like the psychology of this.
Job security. There's security for the students. There's security for the organization. Like,
you're like, God. this is what...
I'm going to continue to be a board member, and that makes me secure and happy.
I'm just saying.
I wasn't trying to shame you. No. I was like, go for it, man. That's awesome.
I love that. So it is like, that is like what you mean, is like being able to be there for them.
Yeah.
What I love about this is like these moments, I don't know, like I feel like yours especially, you two, like, they have to do with like the community, be it like your moments in high school, being how people are reacting to you, letting you just be. Or this experience with your grandparents, just like showing this, like, I mean, I imagine you felt more supported when you saw that.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're like, dang, they were really like, they didn't even make no fanfare about it. They just like did it. Or like, you know, experiencing the community rally behind you, or being able to like provide support for like these kids. I think that's like really, really cool. And I love the joy in this, like the joy in relationships, the queer joy we experience just from like relationships with a lot of straight people too. And that contributes to it.
Yeah.
What a plot twist. I love it. Man, Sabina, Andy, thank you so much for joining us. I think it's time to wrap up. Is there anything, any last things you want to say? Anything you want to just like, you're like, if I left and didn't say this, I couldn't do it.
I think the normalcy is wonderful and beautiful and like feeling normal. I also think, being queer in any capacity of that word that you feel like you are or whatever, I think queerness gives us a freedom to be whatever we want to be. And because I feel like the world in some ways, or like these institutions, were not made for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so being queer gives us the freedom to be whatever we want to be as we want to dictate mm-hmm. it. And that is a lot of the joy for me as well.
That's kind of beautiful.
Yeah. It's, I don't have to listen to the rules from like this institution, from these people, or from these things. I set the joy for myself and whatever I want, because this world was not built for me. So I will build a world for myself. That's what queerness means to me.
I love that. And I think that's so universally applicable. Like, I think about like things that I do now, like back when I was in the closet, I was so scared of people knowing that I liked Mambo Number 5. Lou Bega's Mambo Number 5.
Oh, I know it.
A little bit of Monica in my life. I was so embarrassed because I was like, they're going to know I'm gay. They're going to know I'm gay if I'm listening to this man sing about all the girlfriends he has and all, you know, whatever. Or times when I would be like, even like my interest where I was like, people can't know that I crochet. Or that I was in the color guard. Because they'll know I'm gay. And I think about now how I don't have that pressure. And it's liberating. Mm-hmm. Crocheting is not gay, it's yarn, you know? Lou Bega is the farthest from... He's a very straight, you know... Like, it's like, Mambo Number 5, I've kind of grown out of it a little bit. Maybe I'm coming back, I don't know. But the thing is, like, just the expectation of what I thought society wanted from me controlled my behavior, and letting go of that has allowed me to do things that I enjoy to do that are not inherently have a sexual identity, you know what I mean? It's like the freedom to like explore your life how you want it, you know what I mean? I love it. I love it. Andy, anything else before we roll up round up?
I think that sums it up beautifully.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming. This has been really fun. Yeah. And join us next time on The Government. I don't know. I don't know how to end this thing.
I just love this pose.
I know. I'm like, we're bringing this back.
Bring someone in your life queer joy today.
For 3 payments of $19.99.
Even if it's just yourself.
I don't know how to end this thing.